Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. Find a sofa that can keep up at washablesofas.com. Starting at just $699, our sofas are fully machine washable inside and out. So you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics. They're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. It's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS in the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Newsweek, Gatestone, and The Hill. We look to the Wall Street Journal for signs that China is flailing. Headline, Chinese bond market records fourth month of foreign outflows. Subhead, international investors' holdings of yuan-denominated bonds have fallen by $61 billion since February. Gordon, have we seen anything at this scale before? There was the Great Recession of 2008. Did this happen then?
Yes, we've seen this before, but this seems more sustained. And clearly, there's no sign of this ending, especially because China's problems are becoming more evident rather than less. So, yes, there's been 4 months of outflows from the bond market, but we can expect a lot more, especially as we see problems inside of China.
We welcome our colleague Charles Ortel of On the Money with Charles Ortel to help us, a podcast, to help us understand an outflow of foreign investment in China. This is the world's second largest economy. The recession, if that's what it is, the slowdown, if that's what it is, just started here in the U.S. and in Europe, hence the frantic activity by the central bankers. But this dates to February. Charles, a very good evening to you. Is this a geopolitical outflow? Is this something to do with the Hong Kong, or did they anticipate the slowdown before us? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you both, and thank you. I think this is yet more evidence that folks have been watching as the U.S. and China engaged in their massive restructuring of their relationship under Trump. People now see clearly, even people who are dim-witted see clearly the demerits of operating these dispersed supply chains dependent on China, and industry after industry, I think, is starting to take collapse the supply chains and bring their vendors back into this country and into Western Europe. In addition, investors, particularly bond investors, saw this a long time ago. As the U.S. raises interest rates, over-leveraged China is in very serious trouble, as is over-leveraged Japan.
Gordon, you have a question for Charles.
Charles, this is not only a problem in the relations between Washington and Beijing. We're just seeing fundamental problems inside China itself. Even if you forget the effect of the COVID lockdowns, which have been devastating, you have fallen property sales down more than 34% over the first five months of this year. And we see other signs that are showing that the Chinese economy is failing, especially retail sales. Then that's clearly there's pessimism among the Chinese people as a whole. Is there any solution for Beijing going forward?
I mean, you can't in the end, in the long run, when you have too much debt, but as they do, you have soaring deficits, you have a lack of confidence in the central government. You can't just do this forever unless you have an unlimited stockpile of unused credit, which, of course, no country has. So I think the day of reckoning is perhaps past for China before you think about the internal political issues there. At the same time, we have this fuel prices on fire around the world. We have food prices on fire around the world. And you can't pretend that you fixed an economy when you truly haven't.
I follow the Wall Street Journal measure of this outflow. China's macroeconomic environment quote, continues to be very weak and the slowdown is gathering pace. This from a commentator out of fixed income, head of Asia's ex-Japan fixed income at Pinebridge. He goes on to say, Beijing is expected to ease policy and increase government spending to arrest the downturn. Is that a remedy, Charles, to make it more available, lower cost, to hold on to the investors they have?
I fear not, because you have to go back to 2008. In the United States and Western Europe, we went through a dramatic restructuring, a painful restructuring. In contrast, in China, they upped the level of their investment, and they built what some argue are phantom cities and phantom factories. But the scale of what they've tried already means that any attempt now with this overhang already upon the Chinese economy is going to have, I think, very minimal impact. And bond investors in particular are the shrewdest of all. They see this. They see the opportunities to profit from weakness. And I just don't believe that sane money is going to be sane investors are going to keep their money locked into China.
There's also speculation, Gordon, that the currency, the yuan, could weaken. Is that also related to the macroeconomic story, or is that geopolitical? Can you tell, Gordon?
Well, I think this is basically an economic story, because the renminbi had been weakening for quite some time. We've seen outflows out of China. And the renminbi, it's not just a question of falling. This is not a managed fall. I mean, there have been periods in the last couple months where it's dropped precipitously in 3 and 4 day periods. And this really means that Beijing is losing control of its currency. And once it loses control of the currency, then it's all over. So right now, I'm sure that they're panicking at the central bank in China.
You have a question for Charles.
Charles, we see, quite apart from China, real problems in the U.S. economy, which we're all familiar with. It would seem to me that when you have the world's two largest economies simultaneously going into downturn, when you have soaring energy and food prices around the world strangling economies elsewhere, this seems to me to look like a global downturn, not something which is localized. I mean, how do you assess this when you look at the world?
Well, I think the situation right now is calamitous, and it's not a good thing that the leaders in the United States and other key countries are not economically literate. So we don't even need to discuss the war risk, because that's on the horizon, and that's very dangerous. But when it comes to economics, unlike 1929, unlike 1987 and 1989, technology allows people who want to move money to do it very quickly. And it also allows people who want to take an industry and say, you know what, we don't need as many human workers nowadays because we've got these new technologies. Let's just bite the bullet and radically downsize. So I think we're actually, I can't think in my lifetime, starting in 1956, of a moment that has been more dangerous, frankly.
Gordon, the article ends with a recommendation, I guess that's what we'll call it. These are people familiar with the Bank of China and the Chinese bond market. They said that starting from June 30, end of this month, foreign investors will be allowed to invest in onshore exchange-based bond markets in Shanghai and Shenzhen. I'll stop there. I didn't know this wasn't happening before, but is the outflow not based on the global picture of inflation and central banks, but on some perception, some new perception that the coming power of the earth is stumbling? I'm guessing here, but they're opening their doors, and they were very cautious about that before.
Yeah, the outflow really is result of the perception that China's got problems. I think certainly people who hold Chinese bonds realize difficulties elsewhere, but the outflow is resulting from the way they see Chinese institutions defaulting. You have Evergrande, the property developer we've talked about, other property companies, and they can see the general weakness in the Chinese economy.
Charles Ortel, On the Money with Charles Ortel podcast, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? Washablesofas.com has your back. featuring the Anabe Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out washablesofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabe sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.